lives. We thank you for this time, O Lord, that you have given to us, Father. And we pray that this time will be sanctified, O God, in the blood of the Lamb. That we will each, O God, receive the witness, O Lord, of your voice, Father. That we will receive the witness of your word, the witness of your testimony, Father. That the name of Jesus will come alive to us meaningfully, Father, from within the tablets of our heart. That we will come alive to him, that we will come to live through him, O Lord. That as your word is released into us, Father, let the word that comes alive into us cleanse us, sanctify us, wash us, O God, and bring forth in us, O God, a creative work, O God, that is of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Father, even as you receive your, release your word into us, Father, we pray for the word that will manifest the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. So that the word that comes alive in us will be of his fullness, Father. It will express him in us, Father. It will make him come alive in us, O God. So that we will be able to live through him, O God. So that we will be able to do all things, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his name that is the treasure that you have given us, Father. And we pray, O God, that indeed in the witness that you have given us, Father, that the treasure of his name will be unveiled, O God. That the witness of the water, the blood, and the spirit, Father, will be a witness of the Lord Jesus himself, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen, Father, that will enable us, O God, to live by the oath that you have released into us in Jesus' name. Let your saving grace come upon us in a new way, Father. Let the realities of your living word come alive in our heart, O God, with a clarity, O God, that expresses the Lord Jesus alive to us, Father, so that we can see him, O Lord. And in seeing him, O God, we will be able to see you, Father. Holy Spirit, we commit this time into your hands. And we pray, O God, that the realities of the living word himself will come alive to us, O Lord, even as you bring him alive to us, O God, through all that you give us, O Lord, in this time. Let your word bless us, O Lord. And let your word cause us, O Lord, to be a blessing in your name. And above all things, Father, may we always worship you in spirit and in truth, so that all things, O God, will find, O God, their rightful place in us, O God, so that in everything, O God, we will bless the Lord our God. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on the topic of the inward witness, and we want to continue with that. Let's get some basic scripture in place. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So that witness is alive in each one of us. And that witness is something that we need to cultivate. That is what this teaching is all about. Verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. So we see here that the witness is a living person, that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the witness comes to us in blood, in water, and the Spirit. The blood and the water are realities that come to us in Christ crucified, and the Spirit is what he perfected within the temple of his being to release to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Today we want to talk about the witness of the word, the witness of the water rather, the water that comes to us as the word. We have introduced the subject of the blood, and today we want to talk about the washing of the water of the word. What does the word do? It cleanses us. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 and verse 26. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. That's the power of God's word. The word washes us from all our filthiness, and the word washes us from all our idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. When we were born again, God gave us a new heart and a new spirit. But there is something that talks about the washing of the water of the word. We know that the water represents a witness, but the water is meant to cleanse us supernaturally, all filthiness and from all our idols. So that is the power of the word. And that's why we need to always understand that the word of God is something very special. The word of God has to be alive to us. And the word of God, when it comes to us in the right way, achieves something that is entirely supernatural. Which is why we need to understand the word of God in the right way. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Let's read from verse 25 to verse 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Right? Cleansing of water with the word. It is the word that cleanses. It is the word that does the washing. It is the word that brings forth the reality of the witness of the water. The word, the Greek word for word there is rhema. It is rhema. Rhema. It is rhema that washes us. And this washing is something entirely supernatural. It says here that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. Now that entire process of cleansing is perfect. This verse says that the word of God, when brought to us as rhema, has the ability to cleanse us so that we will be spotless and blameless, without wrinkle. So that supernatural cleansing is the power of the word. And that word comes to us as rhema. That rhema we need to receive. Alright? Who is it that brings this rhema into our lives to wash us and cleanse us? That is the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now the washing comes alive to us as two processes. The washing is a regeneration and a renewal by the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Have you got that? Alright, Titus chapter 3 verse 5. The washing comes to us as a renewal and a regeneration. Right? Renewal and regeneration. Two processes brought to us by the Holy Spirit. So, it is the Holy Spirit who washes us, but he washes us through the rhema of the word. And in washing us through the rhema of the word, he uses two processes that are entirely supernatural. Renewal and regeneration. What does renewal mean? The old becoming new. And what does regeneration mean? The dead becomes alive. Alright? So the process that we are talking about that God brings into us by his word is entirely supernatural. It is something talking about a reality that is not of the world that we know of. For instance, there is nothing that man can do to make something old new. There is no process known to man in any of his sciences that can make the old new. You cannot take an old car engine and make it new, no matter how good an engineer you are. Alright? You cannot take the same materials and use them. You can make a new engine, yes you can. But you can't take an old engine and make it a new engine. You can't take an old piece of steel and make it a new piece of steel. It does not work that way. Alright? So we need to understand something here. Renewal is a process that is entirely beyond the understanding or the intellect of the human race. Alright? So this washing of the water of the word is a renewal. The old becomes new. And that's something awesome. Remember, Jesus talked about pouring new wine into old wineskin, and he said that if you do that, it will tear the old wineskin. But now we have a process that turns the old wineskin into new wineskin. And that's the process by which God ministers to us. And so we need to catch a picture here of why the Word of God is so important, and why it is we need to receive the Word of God from the person of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Word of God comes to us through the Holy Spirit, it brings into us a process that is entirely supernatural. And the key is the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of God who brings himself to us and manifests through his ministry a renewal. The old becomes new. And once you can understand that, you realize that everything that is of the past can come alive in something new. And what is new today can become something else tomorrow, because the process is a continual growth process. So you see here something entirely supernatural. The second process that washing of the water of the Word brings into us by the Holy Spirit is regeneration. Regeneration pertains to the dead coming alive. That which is dead comes alive. Again, this is a process unknown to man. There is nothing that man can do in all of his sciences that can make that which is dead alive. It is impossible to make something dead alive. And yet, through his Word, God says that everything that is dead can be brought alive, renewed in a new reality. And that's what we need to understand. God has that ability to bring forth into us by the witness of the Word something entirely awesome. So we are not bound by what we are today. Everything in us can have continual growth because of the process of renewal and regeneration. And it comes through the Word of God. That's why it is very important that we understand the Word of God as God means us to understand it. Because the Word of God only has this reality when it is His Word. The Word that is according to all of His name. Can you catch that? The Word that is brought to us by the person of God. This is not Word that we interpret as we like in our whims and fancies. This is Word that comes to us as God brings His Word alive to us. And that's what we need to catch. Can you imagine how awesome it will be? It is, or rather, when we have this Word alive to us from the witness of our heart. That through the witness, God is able to bring into us a supernatural growth process that is limitless. Right? As every part of God's Word starts coming alive to us, as it starts releasing into us realities that are of the name of God, can you imagine the processes of change and transformation that God will bring into us? How awesome must they be? That's why the Word says that you will be cleansed such that you will become spotless and blameless. Are you with me? So take care of the Word of God. Don't simply treat it as if it was just something being spoken out of a book or something being stated callously. The Word of God is a treasure. It is a treasure of life. It is a treasure of life. Let's take this witness and see what God wants to bring forth from this witness. We said that this witness is Rhema. All right? Let's turn to John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Don't waste your time with it. All right? Pandering to our fleshly desires, to our fleshly whims, is a waste of time. We're just wasting away our own precious life. We're just stealing from our own selves the blessings that God wants to give. But that which is of the Spirit gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. Gives life. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, my words are spirit and life. The Greek word for words there is rhema. And he says that the rhema of my words is spirit and life. Whose spirit and whose life? Since the words are his words, the spirit is his spirit, and the life is his life. So we catch what rhema means. Rhema is the reality by which we receive the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so when rhema comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Can you catch that? And that's why you can be transformed. Right? The dead can come alive. Where did you see the dead coming alive? In the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you catch it? The dead came alive. He was dead and he was alive. All that was dead inside of his human body was brought alive, right? Regeneratively, right? He was brought alive. When he was dead, he was really dead. Like any human being would be dead. But when he was brought alive, he was alive. Right? In that process, right? That process is made alive to us as the Holy Spirit ministers the rhema of the Lord Jesus to us. What is this rhema? His testimony. Are you with me? His testimony, right? His testimony. All that he did and said and achieved that is alive in the Spirit of God. Can you catch that? Everything that Jesus did. Remember, we started off by talking about the testimony that God wants to give us. Right? We talked about the tabernacle of Moses. And we said that God says that I will give you a testimony. And then we talked about this testimony being made alive into us as a witness. Are you with me? All right? That this testimony will be made alive to us as a witness. Now, part of that witness is the rhema of the word. And the rhema of the word brings the regenerative and renewing power of God into us. It brings into us a supernatural process that is of the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why the rhema of the word can renew and regenerate is because of the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his resurrection power. Can you catch that? Because of his resurrection power. So that's why it is absolutely important that we make sure that the word that we are receiving is of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that takes of what Jesus consecrated and gave to us. Can you catch that? Alright? We need to pray this. Alright? When we read the Bible, it is absolutely important that we are alive to God the Holy Spirit. Because when he makes the word of God come alive to us, it's a totally different experience. It is a totally different reality. Can you catch that? And that reality renews and regenerates. Can you catch that? And that's very exciting because you're not stuck with who you are. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. How did it come about? It came through Rhema. Rhema ministered by the Holy Spirit. Ministered in whose fullness? In the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, Enoch could never have walked with God. Are you with me? It would have been absolutely impossible. Okay? So we need to catch a process here that is very, very awesome. Alright? Rhema is always ministered to by the Holy Spirit. Right? The spoken voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is alive to us today. More alive to us than it was 2,000 years ago when he was on the face of the earth. More alive to us because now it is coming from inside of us. Can you catch that? Now it is coming from inside of us. Now it comes alive inside of us by the person of the Holy Spirit. He brings the voice of the living God. He brings the living word into us in living terms by the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit is the anointing. Life is the life that comes to us, the Zoe life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you catch the picture? And this is awesome. Now this is how you need to understand the witness of the washing of the water of the word. Let's carry on. We haven't finished. We're just beginning. It's very exciting. All right? This rhema is something very awesome. Let's turn to John 15. John 15, verse 7 and verse 8. If you abide in me, the emphasis is on me, which is why in this ministry we always talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the prerequisite to everything God wants to bring into your life and my life. If you abide in me and my rhema abides in you, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Now that's why you need to understand rhema very carefully. Rhema must always be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Rhema must come alive to you by the Holy Spirit. And when you understand that rhema, you can ask anything that is according to that rhema, it will be done for you. Can you catch it? But what is the purpose? The purpose is not a carnal purpose, verse 8. By this is my Father glorified. Very important. The ultimate purpose of God's word is to glorify the Father. That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And so prove to be my disciples. Again, the emphasis is on my, okay? My disciples, you belong to me. Can you catch that? Now that belonging will come alive to us as a matter of course, because the rhema that is being released into us is of His Spirit and His life. Can you catch that? So if you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you will see supernatural growth through the word that God gives you. It will come as a matter of course. The keys are the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the check is whether you are glorifying the Father. Whether you're glorifying the Father, the intentions of your heart, the witness that you have inside of you, does it have the purpose of glorifying the Father? If it does not, then you need to take it back to the Lord and say, Lord, change this witness. Change this witness, transform it, regenerate. Take it out of death and bring it to life. Take the old and bring forth something entirely new, Father. Right? Change the water into wine. Right? A totally new process. Everything is possible as long as it is the truth. Right? Jesus said, I am the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the purpose of truth is to set you free. Right? To set each one of us free. And that freedom says you can ask for anything. Can you catch that? But that freedom is defined in truth. Can you catch that? So this rhema that God brings into us, that comes into our witness, is very, very important. All right? It's very important because it is bringing something into you that is entirely beyond you and me. And this is what we must understand about the Word of God. The Word of God presents realities that are in the name of God. Are you with me? Realities that are not what you and I know, but what God knows. Catch it? And when what God knows comes alive into what you know, when what God knows becomes what you know, that's what is revelation. Can you catch that? That's what is revelation knowledge. Are you with me? And when it becomes revelation knowledge, it is yours forever. Deuteronomy 29:29. Let's read the scriptures. Deuteronomy 29:29. You will find that we will keep repeating these scriptures over and over and over again. It's very simple why we do that. Because all of these scriptures are infinite. All of these scriptures are infinite. They are talking about things that come forth from God Himself. They are limitless scriptures. Alright? Look at verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. The fact that you can observe all the words of this law speaks about the fact that the revelation brings a transformation. Catch it? The revelation by itself brings a transformation. The moment you receive something by revelation in the Holy Spirit, a process of transformation has begun in your life. And that transformation is limitless, all right? Because the process is forever. Can you catch it? And you can take of everything that God brings to you through revelation, and you can give it to others. You can bequeath it. It will carry on as a blessing forever and forever. That's why God says you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Because that is the purpose of life. To be a growing blessing. If every one of us can understand that, can you imagine the revelation that comes into each one of us being generated through each other's life? How great will be the blessing? Alright, so rhema brings into us a totally supernatural process, and you got to catch this. The witness of the water is a supernatural witness. It is not an intellectual witness. It is time for us to forget about how intelligent we are and to come to understand how intelligent God is and what God can do. Everything that God does is beyond us. And that's what we need to understand. That's why He says, I am the life. If you want to live, you have to find me, because I am the life. And what I bring into you
will generate new life in you. It will bring new ways of living into you. It will transform you. It will change you. It will renew you. It will regenerate inside of you. Right? Very exciting. That's why we can become sons of God. Once you can understand the secret of Rhema, you can see perpetual growth being open to you. Right? Perpetual growth being open to you. All right? Everything is open to you. In God, everything is open. Ask anything. Anything that you desire, it will be done for you. But you must abide in me. That was Jesus' caveat. Because if you leave me, you will die. The same blessing will become a curse, as it became in Lucifer's life. Right? He knew all this, and he was destroyed because he left God and he focused on himself. The moment he focused on himself, everything that was a blessing became a curse. Right? That's why we need to understand. When the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." He's not simply saying something. Right? He is expressing the basis of life in us. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who pardons all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases." Right? Can you see, catch that? All right? And it carries on. Go back and read it. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. It describes your salvation, all right? Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Memorize it and understand what it's saying. David knew that 1,000 years BC, before Jesus Christ came into the world, David already wrote that in writing. But it would be Jesus who would make the reality alive to us. Right? That's the witness of the water of the word. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now that is a miracle, if your soul can bless the Lord, right? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." That is a miracle. What miracle is that? That is the miracle of salvation. Can you catch that? That is the miracle of renewal and regeneration, because that expresses a new kind of human being who is able to bless God with all that is within him, who never forgets what God has given him from his soul, which was born in corruption, right? We were born in corruption, correct? But the soul, the process of change and transformation that comes to us through God himself, transforms the way we look at everything. We bless God. Amen? Okay? All right, let's carry on with the Rhema witness. All right? Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14. And here the Lord Jesus is speaking to the Apostle John. "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this." Now Jesus expresses himself here, and he calls himself the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. What does this mean? When Rhema is expressed to us, Jesus expresses to us his spirit and his life. Here he says that witness that he expresses to us through Rhema is true and faithful. Can you catch that? It is true and faithful. It is the beginning of the creation of God. How do we understand that? Let's turn to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Now how does Christ Jesus come to us? Through the witness of the water, the blood, and the Spirit, right? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So how does God create us? He creates us in Christ Jesus. Can you catch it? Jesus says, "I am the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God." There is no end to God's creation. There is only a beginning. And we are each being created inside out. We are being created inside out, and we are being created in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes to us through the Rhema word. Can you catch that? And that is Amen. Amen is the name of Jesus finding substance inside of you. It is Amen. So shall it be. Anything that you ask in my name, it will be done for you. Amen. All right. What is it that is his name, his spirit and his life that is of his name? It says, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. Let's turn to John 6, verse 53. Verse 51 rather. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. I am the living bread. What is the living bread? I am. I am is the living bread. What is I am? The faithful and true witness. Are you with me? The Rhema. The Rhema of his testimony. Catch it? I am. The expression of the name. I am, and all the word that stands in his name, I am, Rhema. Alright? I am the living bread. What is the bread? I am. Anything that you receive in I am is living bread. Now what happens to this living bread? If you eat of this living bread, you shall live forever. Why will you live forever? Because that living bread is an expression of his spirit and his life. Can you catch that? Alright? What else does he say? And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Can you catch that? The bread is my flesh. What is he saying? This bread is my flesh which describes I am. Are you with me? My flesh. If you look at us outwardly, what is it that gives us form? It is our flesh. Jesus is talking about a spiritual reality. He's talking about that realm of the word that describes himself to us. It is a realm of the word that is beyond any picture or any form. Right? Because Jesus Christ, right, is described by the word. He says, I am. And that is my flesh. That is the bread that I give you. Eat of it. Can you catch that? It comes to you as Rhema. It expresses his spirit and his life. It expresses his spirit and his life. And as you eat of it, right? Can you catch it? You are brought forth as a new creation. Are you with me? Okay? It comes as Rhema. It manifests in many ways, alright? But let's just take that as a basic understanding. That God is bringing into us the witness that creates us in Christ Jesus, alright? We are created in Christ Jesus. Whose workmanship are we? We are the workmanship of God. That's what we read in Ephesians 2:10. Alright? We are His workmanship. If we are His workmanship, does God want anything from us? No, He only expects us to receive. Are you with me? We have to receive Jesus Christ and we will grow. We have to receive Jesus Christ and we will grow. Very simple. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Can you do anything to get this bread except receive? Can you catch it? Can you go up to heaven to get it? No, you can't. It's shown in Deuteronomy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 11. Verse 11, 12, and 13. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us here? Can you catch it? Make us here. Jesus came to make us here. And he came and he is with us all of the time. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You don't have to go into heaven to find God. He is here with you all the time. He is wherever you are. Alright? For us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us? That means it is not in Jerusalem that you have to go and find it. Alright? You don't have to cross the sea. It is there all the time. Okay? that we may observe it. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it. How did God make the word in your mouth and in your heart that you may observe it? He expressed it through a living person. Can you catch it? And he is in your mouth and in your heart. You can confess him. Right? You can confess him. And you can cling to him with your heart. When Jesus comes alive to your heart, he is more than alive to you. All right? Can you catch it? Because the word, I mean, here it's talking about, he's talking about the law. That's how he understood it. That's how Moses is really is revealing it. But when you see it in the New Testament, it is more than just words. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who comes to you through those words. Can you catch that? That's why Jesus said, everything that is written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now you see that even this passage is talking about him. It is talking about the word that is in your mouth and in your heart. With your mouth you eat. Right? Can you catch it? We're speaking of spiritual realities that are in the word of God. Right? So receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you will live. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Eat of this bread and you will live eternally. This bread that I give to you is my flesh. Can you catch it? This bread is I am. Right? What did we read in the book of Psalms? That the word of God is according to all of God's name. Right? Catch it? What is God's name? I am. What is God's name? I am. And that word is being given to you. How is it being given to you? It can only come to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no other bread of life. That's why the Holy Spirit brings him to you, and only the Holy Spirit can bring him to you. Because he is the truth, and only the Holy Spirit can minister the truth, because only God is the truth. So if you understand this, you begin to realize that the processes of change come to us when we see it in the Lord Jesus Christ, brought alive to us by the Holy Spirit. Can you catch it? So focus on the Lord Jesus. Always focus on the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has come to take of all that is his and reveal it to you. Correct? John 16 verse 13 and 14. John 16 verse 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Correct? Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. Where is all the truth? It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in God. God is the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. What does the Holy Spirit hear? Your response to God. Are you with me? That's why it is important how you receive. God hears your response. And the Holy Spirit ministers to you according to your response. Who are you responding to? You are always responding to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot see God any other way. You can only see the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only relate to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. To try and talk about God without the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ is to kid yourself. So it is your response to the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit hears. All the time. He who believes in the Lord Jesus has the witness in himself. Correct? Catch it? And after that, what it says? He who disbelieves has denied the witness of God. Did you read the second half of that verse? 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. He who does not receive it has called God a liar. So here it says, the Holy Spirit responds according to what he hears. What does he hear? Your witness. What is your witness? Your response to the person who is called the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to you in the witness of the blood, the water, and the Spirit, all of the time. All of the time. When you scold your wife, you are responding to the reality of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Correct, Anna? Yes. When you get angry with your son and say things that you shouldn't say, it is in itself a response to the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Ultimately, what you are saying either says Jesus is my Lord or it says I have just denied him. We look at Peter and we say he denied Jesus three times. How many times have we denied Jesus Christ? Can you catch it? Same thing. Alright? Okay. Putting that aside, let's look at verse 14. It says, He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. That's very important. Whatever the Holy Spirit takes, it is going to be of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for instance, if you operate the gifts, where do those gifts come from? What do those gifts express? Everything that Jesus did, isn't it? So if you express gifts without the Lord Jesus Christ, without glorifying his name, you will eventually walk into something that is not of the Lord Jesus anymore, and you will walk into a reality that has got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Can you catch that? It's only a question of time. That's why the reality we must always have is that whatever we are operating in and functioning in through the anointings, it is something that originated from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of him. It is of him. You have been brought alive to what has been given to you, and it has come to you as a gift. Ultimately, everything is a gift, isn't it? Right? The life that we live is also a gift. Are you with me? So, it's very important that we understand that he takes of mine and he will disclose it to you. That's what the Lord Jesus says. He will take of mine. And in verse 15, Jesus says, everything that the Father has are mine, is mine, isn't it? Can you catch it? Now, how does God give us anything? He gives it to us through the Word, isn't it? How can God make something real to you? How do you perceive anything? It has to be Word, isn't it? If you look at a chair, how do you understand a chair? You must first understand a chair. You can't use a chair for sleeping. So what is it that makes a chair to you? How was that chair formed? It had to be fashioned in Word first, isn't it, before it became a chair. If it was not in Word, it would never have taken shape. Right? Because you would not have shaped a chair this way if you were meant to sleep in it. Correct? Are you with me? So it is Word that gives function to anything that the human race perceives. Right? It is Word that gives form and substance to the entire created universe. So the Word of God says that everything was created through the Rhema of God. Correct? Alright? So that witness, which is the beginning of the creation, has been given to us as the Amen. Are you with me? And that is in your witness. Isn't that exciting? Right? It is exciting, but the trouble is to keep it in the Lord Jesus Christ is the challenge. Right? To keep it in the Lord Jesus Christ is the challenge. That's why the witness comes in three parts. It comes not only as the Word, it comes to you through the blood. Are you with me? Why is the blood there? The blood is to make sure that you belong to Jesus. What does the blood say? Remember me. Right? So the entire new covenant is in the blood. Let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 20. Luke chapter 22, verse 20. And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. What does the covenant represent? The Word of God. The Word of God that has been revealed to you and made alive to you. But where does it stand? It stands in the blood. So what you receive in the rhema of the Word must stand in the blood. It must come alive through a relationship. That's why Jesus says, Abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. He doesn't say just simply my words abide in you. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything, it will be given to you. Why does he say that? Because abide in me is a relationship. What kind of relationship? It is a relationship in the blood. Are you with me? It is a relationship in the blood. Without the blood, the witness of the water of the word will not be complete. So if you do not love Jesus, very simple to test whether the blood is working in you. Do you really love Jesus? Very simple. If you love Jesus, you love Jesus. That's the blood speaking. You love your son. Why do you love your son? Why do you love your daughter? Because your blood flows in that child. So why do you love Jesus? Because His blood flows in you, and you have come to realize the witness of the blood. And He is your Lord. He is your beloved. He is your life. You owe everything to Him. The fact that you can say, I owe everything to Him, and actually mean it, is a reality that comes through blood. It cannot come any other way. It cannot come any other way. We talked about the blood, and we said that the blood represents a relationship. A relationship that God opens to you. Why? Because Jesus shed His blood entirely for us. The blood was shed for no other reason but for us. He poured Himself out for us. How did He pour Himself out for us? The book of Isaiah says He poured Himself out for us. How on earth did He pour Himself out for us? He poured Himself out for us in the blood. And that blood is a witness. Catch it? That blood is a witness. Now the blood makes sure that everything that comes to us through the rhema of His Spirit and His life finds its proper place. So this is Jesus Christ who comes to you in the water and the blood. Catch it? Alright? In the water and the blood. The water is Word. The revelation of the Word is awesome. You can fly like an eagle. You can soar in the winds of the Spirit. But it's the blood that makes it all in its right perspective. It gives it perspective. That perspective is a relationship. It is a blood covenant. Alright? It is a blood covenant. Without the blood covenant, the Word of God has got no meaning to the human person. That's why the entire new covenant is in the blood. It is in the blood. You cannot have a covenant. You cannot come into the understanding of God's Word if it was not something alive to you through the witness of the blood. Alright? Catch it? The witness of the blood. It's very, very important. So through the rhema, God is actually creating us. Alright? He's renewing us. He's regenerating us. He's bringing forth in us a new person. Alright? Let's look at John 17. John 17. Verse 6, 7 and 8. Verse 6 says, the Lord Jesus is praying. He said, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. I manifested thy name. Verse 7 says, now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. Why? Because they have received your name. How? For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them. Can you catch that? The Greek word for words there is rhema. For the rhema which thou hast given me, I have given to them. Alright? And they received them and truly understood. Are you with me? Truly understood. They truly understood. The rhema that I have given to them, the rhema which the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given to us. We receive it and we have come to understand it. We have come to understand it. How do we understand? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. The second half of that verse. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Who is the Holy One? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. They have come to understand. How have they come to understand? They have received me. Can you catch it? They have received me. That's why in order to understand the Word of God as it really is, you must receive Jesus. You must see the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what comes to you through the Lord Jesus Christ that is understanding. If you do not see the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not received rhema. You have not received the rhema of God. If the Word of God is merely a set of principles, you have received no rhema. Because rhema is tied to the name of God. You got to catch that. My words. What do my words express? They express me. If you and I speak, our words express who we are, correct? So understanding comes by the knowledge of the Holy One. You must know Him. How do you know Him? Through the blood. Are you with me? So you cannot understand God's word without the blood. That's why the whole covenant is in the blood. Because the understanding of covenant, the understanding of its meanings, the understanding of its applications can only have meaning to a Christian through blood. If you don't belong to God, you will never apply God's word the straight way. If you do not know Jesus, if you do not love Jesus, your ministry will by definition be crooked. How can it be straight? Jesus is the truth. If you are not based on Jesus, what ministry is that? What life is that? Catch it? Okay, how does understanding come? It comes by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. The first part of that verse. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. By faith in whom do you understand? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ you come to understand. What is understanding? You know Him. Correct? Can you catch that? You know Him. How do you know Him? How does faith make you know Him? Very simple. Faith is substance, right? Substance of His person and His nature. Hypostasis, correct? Remember that word? Right? Substance is hypostasis, right? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, substance. Hypostasis. Faith is substance. The substance of your hope. Right? If you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the substance of your faith will be of the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct? What is the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ? His person and His nature. What substance? That comes to you by His Spirit and His life. Can you catch that? Something that tells you who He is and describes His nature into you. That substance. That is what gives you understanding and you know Him. Can you catch that? So as you grow in the Word of God and Jesus is revealed through the Word, what do you receive? You receive His Spirit and His substance. Now His Spirit and His life. His Spirit and His life enables you to know Him. It comes automatically. You already know the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that enables you to really know Him? That which is of the Word. Can you catch that? It is not out of experience. It has to be of the Word. The experience only confirms the Word. You must always understand this about experience. Experience is only meant to confirm what you have received in the Word. Experience by itself means nothing. Experience must validate the Word. That's why experience is important. But experience by itself will lead you into error, because if it does not validate the Word, or if it's not validated by the Word, it will lead you into error, because our experiences are limited. Our capacity to experience is limited. Okay? So through the Word, God gives you His Spirit and His life. The Spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Spirit and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ bring to you? His I Am. And when the Spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ take shape and form into you, according to the Word, He comes alive in you. Are you with me? When He comes alive in you, you know Him. By faith you understand. That faith is substance. Where is that substance? It has been fashioned into you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Catch it? It is hypostasis. Last week we left with a word called confidence. Remember that? Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm until the end. I'm using the translation in the New King James or the Old King James. Confidence. In my version it uses assurance. we have become partakers of Christ. How? Through a confidence. Where is that confidence? It is inside of you. How did that confidence come to you? It is hypostasis. The Greek word there is hypostasis for confidence. What is the confidence? It's the substance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? It has been supernaturally manifested inside of you. And that confidence is your witness. Can you catch that? Alright? Now how does that confidence come to you? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 and 20. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hello? That confidence comes through blood. Right? You love Him. You know Him. You belong to Him. He belongs to you. The blood gives you that witness, and you know, you have that confidence. I know my Jesus will hear me. There are also times when you know that He does not hear you too. Right? There are times when you feel that He's a million miles away. Why? Okay. But here it says, you have the confidence, alright, to enter the holy place. How do you enter the holy place? By hope, right? Remember the teaching on hope? It's all tied up. The word of God is all tied up. Hope anchors you behind the veil. What's the first veil? The holy place. Correct? Hope anchors you behind the veil. So the moment you have confidence, you are behind the veil. Never you lose that confidence. What does Satan try to do? He tries to take you away from that confidence all of the time. That's where the battle is. Because if you are in the holy place, Satan can't touch you. He can create situations around you, but he cannot touch you. He can only touch you through third parties and through situations and circumstances around you, but he can't touch you in your person. So that confidence that God gives you is the confidence of the blood. Are you with me? It's a blood relationship. How do you know your father will give you something? You just know it, right? Where did that confidence come from? It is because of the blood tie, right? You know that no matter what havoc you have done, your father will give you a place. That's human love, alright? God will correct you, but he will give you that place too. But he will correct you first. But that confidence in the blood, right, enables you to enter the holy place. What does verse 20 say? By a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Now, what is his flesh? I am. Right? His flesh, I am. What is that veil? The veil opens to you according to who you see I am as. Are you with me? So every promise in God opens according to the veil of the flesh. His flesh. What is his flesh? I am. Catch it? So Jesus says, I am the door. My sheep go in and out and find pasture. You can live by moving in and out by that door. Now that door describes how we move by the Holy Spirit, alright? Are you with me? Christians must move by the Holy Spirit all the time. Christians do not move in a realm. Christians move by the door that is opened in the name of Jesus in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. It is not just a realm of the Spirit where you go into darkness and see all kinds of funny things. Some of it is of God, some of it of God only knows where it comes from. Right? Can you catch it? Now all it requires is an awareness in your witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? The door opens by the name of Jesus. Catch it? What are we celebrating in Holy Communion? We are celebrating the reality of that door. At what level has that door been opened? That is your Passover. Catch it? Jesus says, remember me. Why? Because as you remember me, the door in my name is open to you. It is how you see me that is the door. Whether you pray in tongues, whether you operate the gifts, whether you are preaching whatever ministry, whether you are counselor, whether you are ministry of helps, whether whatever way in which you function, the door is always the name of Jesus. The door in which you function, the Passover that you have attained to, is the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ alive in your heart. Catch it? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Clean out the old leaven, throw out all the old ways, all the fleshly ways, throw it out, step on it, kill it, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Christ is the anointed one. Christ the anointed one has the purpose of bringing alive into us a Passover. He has been sacrificed. A new and living way has been opened to you by the veil of his flesh. Can you catch it? The veil of his flesh is I am. I am who I am. I am that I am. That I am is how you function by the anointings. Right? But the anointing must always testify of Jesus as Lord. The anointings must always testify of Jesus the Lord. Can you catch it? Christ the Passover has been sacrificed. Alright? Alright? Let us therefore celebrate the feast. How do you celebrate the feast? You remember him. Not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. That means we throw away the ways of the snake. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Can you catch it? How does this door open? Sincerity and truth. Always be sincere about the Lord Jesus, and the witness inside of you will grow marvelously. It will take time, but it will grow marvelously. Be sincere with the word of God, and God will continue to reveal the word. And as the word grows in you, the name of God will expand in your heart. You will start seeing new things in new ways. And always the word comes alive in the name. If there is a principle, you must understand that the principle illumines the name of God. If you can understand the principle as illumining something in the name of God, then you will have learned something. Are you with me? The next time when you apply a principle, look at how that principle opens the name of God. If it does not open the name of God, there is something fishy about the principle. There's something fishy about the principle. Human beings love principles because every principle can be manipulated. And we are experts at manipulation. We can even manipulate our own children. We all know how to lie. Who do we lie to first? Ourselves. Once we have conned ourselves, we can con everybody else. So the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Throw out the old leaven. Throw it out. Get rid of it. It is useless. It is killing you. It is destroying your life. It is robbing you of the promises of God. Why do you want to hold on to it? Is it something worthwhile? Is it going to bless you? Is it going to bring fulfillment into your life? It is not. It's going to destroy everything inside of you. So throw out that old leaven and start functioning in this Passover. Christ, your Passover has been sacrificed. And that's what we are celebrating in this Holy Communion. The fact that he has been sacrificed. Why was he sacrificed? So that the Passover would become our reality. That tells us something about our Father's heart, isn't it? Isn't it? Because that is the will of the Father, to open that Passover so that his sons can walk in and out in the door of his name. Isn't it amazing? I mean, everything in the Word of God, once it is understood, will show you how great is the love of the Father. Amen. So as we celebrate Holy Communion today, let us understand that we are celebrating the reality of Jesus in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the Passover opens to you in sincerity and truth. Very simple. But sincerity and truth must always make Jesus alive in you. And once we understand that, God can bless us and bless us and bless us and bless us. There is no limit to God's blessing. Anything you ask in my name, it will be given to you. That Passover will be opened. That reality of living, right? A new and living way given to you with the confidence born in the witness of the blood. A new and living way through the veil of the flesh. What is the veil of the flesh? I am who I am. I am that I am. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, that is what we are celebrating. I am who I am. The memorial name of the Lord our God. How is that memorial name made alive to us? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is Kurios. Kurios ties back to Yahweh. Jesus is the person who makes God personal to us. Christ is the anointed one. The anointing that enables us to function in the Lord Jesus. Are you with me? And that's what we are remembering and celebrating in this Holy Communion. So Holy Communion is an awesome prophetic celebration. You know, so often we run for prophecy here, prophecy there. God has given us prophecy according to all of the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Right? More than you can even begin to understand, you know. It is so awesome. It is infinite prophecy. Alright? Infinitude. So we pray. Father, we bless you and thank you that we are able to celebrate this Holy Communion, Father. In the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, knowing that Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. That this Passover has been opened to us with a confidence that is entirely of the blood of Jesus. And this Passover has been opened through the veil of His flesh, Father. The I am of His name that comes into us with understanding as the Word of God is revealed to us in His Spirit and His life. Holy Spirit, we thank you for ministering this reality into our lives. Holy Father, we thank you for this awesome love that means to bless us forever and ever through the Passover of the Lamb, Father. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake, Father, we are partaking of the fulfillment of this Passover that you have opened to us in Jesus' name. And we pray for that Passover to grow in each one of us, Father. So that all of us, O God, will be able to remember Him and function in this Passover all of the time. So that all that we do in word and in deed will be in the name of the Lord Jesus. That our heart and our minds, O God, will be alive to you all of the time. We ask you to bless us, O Lord, that even as we partake of this Holy Communion, that we will be creatively fashioned, O God, so that we will in turn be a blessing to our brethren, so that the testimony of our lives will be a blessing to you, Father. That we will bring pleasure to your heart, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for your awesome love. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave us this love and made it alive to us, Father. That we can come to realize this love from the depths of our heart through the witness that is alive in us by the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for all that you have given us, Almighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we testify, O God, that Jesus has come to us as the living bread that came down out of heaven. That as we partake, O God, we are partaking of His flesh, Father. The flesh that unveils His I am to us, O Lord. So that we may see Him and in seeing Him come to know you, Father. That we may come to love Him and in loving Him come to love you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that the reality of Jesus is made alive in us through your ministry, O Lord. So as we partake of the bread of life, Father, we thank you that the hidden manna of the name is given to us in Jesus' name. As we receive, we pray that every blessing that you make alive in us, Father, that we will be able to express it to the glory of your name in a lifestyle that worships you in spirit and in truth. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The blood is life to us, Father. And the blood expresses, O God, the realities of the Lord Jesus who belongs to us, Father. The Lord Jesus whom we have chosen to belong to. The Lord Jesus in whom we abide in, Father. The blood bears witness to the fact that He is our Lord, that we are His own possession, Father. And through the witness of this blood, we come to realize, O God, that we have a confidence, O Lord, that stands before You all of the time. In that confidence, we can attain this Passover, O God, at different levels, O God, even as we move by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Let the blood speak within us, Father. Let the witness of the blood be the witness that is alive in us in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, so that everything that is within us will be alive to You, in Jesus' name. The blood is alive in us because Jesus poured Himself out for each one of us, Father. And we thank You, Father, that this blood will indeed come alive in the body of Christ, Father, as the bride of the Lamb is prepared for the marriage, O God, that is upon us, O Lord. And as You prepare us for this prophetic fulfillment, Father, we bless You and we thank You for all that You are teaching us in the witness of the blood. As we receive, we pray, Father, that we will always remember Jesus in all that we do in word and in deed. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who pardons all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit, who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies my years with good things, and renews my youth like an eagle. All this God has given us through the witness of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank You for the word that You have released into our lives, and we pray that this word will be a blessing to Your church, O Lord. That the body of Christ will be blessed and come alive in Jesus in a newness of life, Father, that is entirely of Him. May the name of Jesus become the treasure of the church. That the name of Jesus will become, O Lord, the expression of the church, O God, across the world and in the heavenly places. We pray this in Jesus' name.